Yes, my name's I'm Michael Dalton from Australia. I work for a private company in Centec in Australia. They make soil moisture monitoring equipment, and I get to travel around the world and tell people about it for half my life. So essentially what I'll go through, a brief outline of what I'd like to talk about. I'll talk about capacitance technologies, talk about the dielectric, calibration calculations. I'm sure that the audience is very well aware of calibrations of soils as a major contributor to the accuracy of the sensors. I'll talk about the forms that we're dealing with, the actual form of the sensors, the temperature effect. Everybody knows that there is a form or a temperature effect in capacitance technologies. We'll look at the experimental approaches that we've had that we've covered to try and address these problems, and look at how we do those corrections and actually implement them in the software, in the firmware of the sensor. I'll go through some data recalculations and briefly finish by conclusions. So briefly, this is a continuous monitoring system that we have. It is a profiling system, so the sensors sit into the soil in an access tube. I've forgotten about the noise. I realised that there was an addition there. So that's the sensor reads outside into the soil, so the sensor is completely isolated from the soil. It's covered by plastic, and the electromagnetic field permeates into the soil. And the way that it actually calculates or actually senses the water is looking at the polarity of the water molecule itself. So obviously this is a very stylized form of water molecule, but essentially you have a dipole, positive and a negative end, if you like, to a water molecule, and as soon as you put an electromagnetic field around that water molecule, it will change the way that that water molecule charge is distributed. So it will actually move around inside it. It will actually align with the lines of electromotive force within an electromagnetic field, and you get this effect, if you like. It can actually be tracked in a sensor, can be tracked, and then use a calculation to then work out exactly what the water content is. So we're really working with dielectric constants. So there's a dielectric constant. Everything has a dielectric constant. If you put anything in between two plates and a capacitor, that will have a dielectric constant. And essentially you're looking at the flow or the permeability, if you like, of an electromagnetic field through a material. So we have a surface charge density on each of these electrodes. It's just a stylized form of the capacitance technology. So you have a surface charge density in there, measured in coulombs per metre squared, an electric field density intensity, volts per metre, and the permittivity of the dielectric in farads per metre. And we're very lucky in that we have permittivity in air of 1, permittivity in water is 81, so there's quite a difference between the two, which means that we can use that to actually calculate the difference between water and air. We calibrate all of our sensors. You can either use the default calibration or you can do your own. Anyone who's done the calibration knows they're a fair bit of work, but essentially what you look at is looking at exactly getting the water content within the sphere of influence of the sensor around in the soil there, and you can essentially measure the water content in the soil, dry it out, and then measure it again and to actually calculate that. And we find that we get these quadratic or power function calibrations, and you get an ABC coefficient for each one of those, and you can get very accurate readings for the water content. You can use the default, as I say. The default here is just running down along there, or you can use your own. There's several different ones that you can use. In this case, I've done the drill and drop. I'll go into that what that is in a minute. The drill and drop is a new sensor that we're now selling, and I've got different calibrations for each one of those, or different textures, if you like. So that's just showing you the calibration. This is a default calibration and a site-specific calibration. I'm just showing you the values can be different. these values are actually comparative, if you like, 18 and 2029 there, that can be comparative. Those values can change, but the general trend in the data doesn't change at all. I'm only going to cover two different types of sensors that the company works with. They're the EnviroScan and the drill and drop. EnviroScan is a larger 56 millimetre sensor that people are more familiar with. The drill and drop is a solid, smaller sensor. It's only a diameter of 30 millimetres at the top and 24 millimetres at the bottom. It's a tapered sensor, so it's actually put in with a tapered auger and then inserted, and that tapering actually gives you a really good fit with the soil. So to actually calculate a difference, we worked two approaches. Essentially, we looked at the change in the temperature in the air, and we looked at the change in temperature with that actually in the soil. So ideally, we want to be able to change the amount of correction that is required. So essentially, we started with the air. We used multiple probes. This has got six sensors in there, in that probe, each one of those, and we stepped through various temperatures, and temperature gradients were accounted for. So essentially, we had a heating element at the bottom of the oven here, and there's a temperature gradient that's set up in the oven, so that has to be corrected for. And what we found is that they were able to correct for the raw counts from the sensor. So what we've got here is looking at the slope comparisons, if you like, of the EnviroScan. The EnviroScan's been around for 25 years, and people have sort of said, oh, you know, is there a temperature effect? Well, yes, there is. It's only a small effect. We're only looking at, in terms of raw count, 120 counts is about the worst that we can see there. So very small, whereas the drill and drop, a larger degree, if you like, of the change in raw counts, but it's fairly consistent. It's a very, very nice relationship. We've got different relations here because these sensors are all quite different. The 1.7 and 1.8 are different from the TriScan 1.8. So there are different versions. I mean, obviously, the sensor has gone through 25 years of development. Okay, so temperature compensation or correction that we've found for drill and drop and for EnviroScan essentially is this: that we can basically get a change in the temperature multiplied by the slope, and we can add that figure, if you like, to the raw count. So get a raw count adjusted, if you like. We're sort of calling it that. So it's a simple effect that we can easily correct for. So the slope correction for the EnviroScan, the drill and drop, looking at minus 3.7, minus 4 counts, minus 29 counts. And we've taken the data from something like 3,000 probes to have a look at exactly what sort of range that could equate to. So that could equate to something like 0.04 to 0.13 millimetres per degree change. So if I just have a sensor and I put it in an environment where I've increased the temperature, I know that I can get that sort of level, if you like, for the EnviroScan. So that's what people have been saying in any case over the last 25 years. They're saying that's only a small effect. The drill and drop does have a larger effect, but again, it can be maybe it's three times or thereabout and can be corrected for. The other approach that we took, obviously, was to look at what would happen in soil. So again, we've got a chamber. In this case, it's got a water jacket. So this water jacket is, we change the temperature in that water jacket, and that changes the temperature within the soil that we have. And I've used sand and clay loam in different water contents, and I've cycled through various temperatures. And what you can see, it's a little more complicated in the soil than it is in the air. We do have a hysteresis effect, if you like. A cooling effect and a heating effect. So there's also a delay because of the solidness of the nature of the probe is that it's solid. You do have a delay, something like 15 to 29 minutes, something like that, before changes in the soil are recorded in the probe itself. So there's some changes there. So that's sort of got to be taken into account. And you've also got the effect, of course, that it's a sensor, a capacitance sensor, so that the sphere of influence reduces it as the square of the distance away from it. So obviously things that happen close to the sensor are more highly recorded than things further away. So it was not as easy as we thought initially. So in these tests, in any case, we found sort of 3.7 to 11.5. These are volumetric water contents that we used. We used different dries and wet, whether it's sand or clay loam. In this case, clay loam. We didn't go to clay at this stage. Clay obviously takes a lot longer to actually run. It will take several months to actually run that experiment. But we got sort of comparable values. These are maybe the worst one is probably 0.6, which is slightly higher than the previous figure that I was giving. But again, this was drill and drop. And again, for EnviroScan, these values were something like half of those values. So we've sort of nailed down on some of the detail of that. This is just an example from once we've actually got the calibration protocol, if you like, or the change in that we can correct for. We've then gone and put the sensors into the field and worked on what sort of effect is really happening out there. This is an EnviroScan. You can basically see that these values are almost the same. There's not really a lot of difference in there, and that's the sort of thing that we find in any case with EnviroScan. The EnviroScan has a sort of a more insulating field to it. It has an air gap in the sensor itself, and that sort of insulates against much of the temperature changes. Okay, so I've got two other lots of data, and this is just another section of data where we looked at the high diurnal fluctuation that we could see in a particular soil type, and then we introduced the temperature correction in the drill and drop, and we noticed that we could sort of get a rein in on that, which was great for us. Another set of data looking at, again, marked diurnal fluctuation at the top. When it was corrected, we could see that it was much more moderated. And that's just showing you the fact that you can record the different temperatures at every depth level. So we could do this in the future. We might do this as a correction feature that could either be automatically done, or we might be able to have an action where the person might be able to induce this sort of correction if possible if they want to do it. So in conclusion, the effects of temperature quiescence is small and it can be corrected for. And in soil, it's around about 0.04 to 0.13 of a millimetre per degree C, and that's in the EnviroScan, and 0.19 and 0.33 in drill and drop sensors. This has all been written up. If you want to have a look at it, I'll probably publish this at some stage so that it's actually recorded in the literature, because a lot of people have been asking me about this. The best way to apply the correction was obviously in the raw count stage, and it's only essentially we're just trying to improve the availability of the data, the quality of the data, and we need a little bit more work, I think, on the refining of the temperature correction for temperature hysteresis. That's something else that's coming up. Just a few acknowledgements there. Are there any questions?
In your drop-in and correct system, if you put 10 of these around the plant, will it give you a perspective of where those plants are and what the activity of the plant is? You can measure the water, but how about the water disappearance versus the quantity of roots that are here?
Yes, yeah. We have many systems, actually. We've been working with some people that we actually put a crosshair, if you like, maybe 9 sensors, if you like, 9 probes. In a crosshair arrangement, and then with the drill and drop particularly, you can actually look at the 2D. You can look at the 2D representation of that data and how it changes. We have a different function. If you want to come and have a look on the stand at the exhibitor display area, I can probably even show you some of that data where we're actually looking at a 2D transect of the soil. We can see it in a video form exactly what the water content is changing and how the roots are extracting and where they're extracting from.
Yeah, we can take one more question.
They mentioned the site-specific calibration. I didn't catch whether you had mentioned that there is some specific soil characteristics, such as mineralogy or something, that really dominates the control of that calibration.
What do you mean?
One thing that. Site to site, right? So what is the main thing that's changing calibration?
Yeah, it's texture, really. Where you saw the straight lines, that's clay, essentially. Heavy clay, you get a relationship that then becomes more linear. But when you've got sand, it's more sort of a power function. Yeah, so it's to do with the clay content, essentially. And I think other things that do come into play, things like iron. Iron is particularly dense, if you like, to the dielectric.
Let's give him another hand. Well done.